Welcome back. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Rogue Glory. Here with a guest, my first guest with the new podcast club. You might notice that the audio is actually decent. That's thanks to my buddy and my first guest, fellow comic, Deez Casillas. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, man. So we got the Bahamas under our belt. That was your first trip out there.
That was nice.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah, for the most part. I never thought I'd get sick of a literal place called Paradise Island, though.
Yeah, it's after the first week, you're like, this is great. And then you're like, after that first week, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, okay.
You've seen everything. You've done everything. Just ready to pack it up and roll out.
Yeah, I can only sit on a beach for so many hours. I love the ocean and the sun, but eventually I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know. I think I've sat on the beach for 8 hours a day for a week. What else do I do?
Oh, what else do you do? You go entertain drunk, belligerent, indignant people. Dude, that one show that the guy just stood up in the middle of the fucking...
Yeah, he just bailed. He's just
well, first, wasn't he having like an OnlyFans session with his wife and right in front of the stage? Like,
yeah, in the middle of my set, he's just like rubbing her leg. And it was partly my fault. I addressed it because it was obvious. He's front row, right up front.
Yeah. How dare you address that? Well, you should have just ignored the guy fucking finger banging his significant other in the middle of your show.
Yeah, I was like, it was a little distracting. So eventually I'm like, I got to say something to this guy. And from that point on, he was just, it wasn't like rude. I'm just like, what's going on? Are you guys okay? Is this like a orgy situation? You know, just like playful. And then he got that from there.
It's like the last thing you would expect though at a place like that. Like scenario, guy finger banging his significant other in the front row. Did this happen at A, Bonkers Comedy Club?
Right.
B, one nighter, full throttle saloon with bikers. C. I would say the other two before I would ever guess Atlanta's Resort disguises. But yeah. And then, because that's when Keisha had to come out. And the fact that Keisha even got up to fucking come out that's huge.
Like, I was waiting. I'm like, because it got so bad where they were just full. There were four people at the table. And I'm like, okay. They just kept talking, and they were basically trying to have sex at the table, and the other two were there having a full conversation. I'm like, at some point, someone has to come talk to these people, because, like, I don't want to be the dick who's like, this is my fourth day here. Do I yell at these people, you know? Like, I don't know the rules out here.
Oh,
is it, like, street rules? We got to fight afterwards? I feel like the problem is with that place is that everyone's
just
rich.
One problem.
Besides not having a working microphone, cable, mic stand, green room, everyone there is rich and white, and they've been there for weeks, and it's a $40 ticket, and $40 is nothing to them, so they're not invested at all.
Might as well be an open mic.
Yeah, like they're there because they don't want to gamble again that night.
Yeah. And the water slides are closed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So like it's just limited options. Which it was like that or watch Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. In the movie theater next to us.
Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. We could watch Venom Carnage 2, or we can watch Frozen.
Right.
You know, whatever fucking random movies they have playing over there.
Yeah. Whatever movies were in the States 19 months ago. Like, I get it. They're only so into it. I mean, there were good shows. There were a couple shows that were like great. A couple shows that made me want to kill myself. And then the rest were just kind of like, okay, those are fine. You know?
Yeah. I mean, crowd wise too, is just like some of them is just, you know, that's the first time I've ever seen it where it's like, it never really got packed out. Like it was
yeah.
like some of them, I think it was like, it got to like, I think the highest capacity it got was like maybe 75%. You know,
probably
like the most
yeah.
packed it got there.
Yeah, because we never even filled the
sides.
Whole bar. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know, getting the bottom filled was like, okay, I think that was maybe like three shows we had the entire bottom filled.
Yeah.
Like the middle part at least. But yeah, man. Yeah, it's my first time back there. It's kind of sad going back there and seeing it decline the way it is, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine when it's full, it's got to be great. I mean,
all right, I've had some rocking shows there. It's been pretty fun, but. Yeah, that was a rough setting.
I feel I don't like I hate I sound like an asshole because I don't want to complain about it. Because at the same time, you're like, it's like a paid vacation. It is a paid vacation, you know. So, which is nice, but yeah, I feel like 2 weeks might be too long.
Right.
Yeah. Like if it was like a week, you'd feel like you were great. But like week two, you're just kind of like, I feel like I'm just walking in circles on this fucking island.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't imagine living there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then shout out to our buddy Mark, man, like had his phone stolen, while he was there, like, because he was supposed to come hang out and then somebody stole his phone. And then he had the tracker. Did you tell you about this?
I'm like, no, I didn't hear that story.
Oh, yeah. So we were like, because Rhonda and I were like, hey, you're going to come hang out? I think it was on a Monday.
Okay.
Like he was going to come hang out. But then somebody stole his phone the night before. And then so then he goes to the cop. So he has the phone tracker. So he knows where the phone is. Then he goes to the cop and he's like, hey, my phone's taken. I need some assistance. Yeah, we don't do low level stuff. Like, go handle it yourself, basically.
So yeah, just go be a vigilante.
He's like, all right. So then he grabs his buddy, and then and they're like, go be Batman. And then so then they confront the guy, and he's like, oh, I don't have the phone. And then his buddy takes an actual baseball bat, so now he is Batman.
Yeah,
and starts fucking smashing his hitting the thing. He's like, dude, I'm just gonna start smashing this hard till you get the phone. Then a cop comes over.
Oh, Jesus!
He's like, hey, what's going on? He's like, then Mark has to be like, yo, just so you know, I addressed this. I asked for your assistance to this cop, and then like, luckily, it was all sorted out. But the phone was in the guy's trunk. And then he tried to blame it on somebody he gave a ride home to. He was like, yeah, the guy I gave a ride home to took your phone and then hit it in the trunk. And then, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, what's his name? I don't know. I never met him. First time I met him. And I just happened to let him put stuff in my trunk.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Mark works at the bar down there. And this guy's like a regular at the bar and just fucking took his phone. Like, the audacity. Could you imagine, like, fucking being like, and then the cops being like, yeah, no.
Yeah, we're fine.
You go fucking deal with it. Okay, how about this? He raped my sister and he stole my phone.
Right.
You know, like, you have to like make
it's nice to know that even other countries cops don't roll out for anything that's not real, like, or anything that's like, you know, that's not a major crime. Like, even in America, there was a streak of times in LA where I remember that this guy got shot because he stole someone's backpack, and the guy whose backpack it was, he knew the cops wouldn't just come for a stolen backpack. So he told him the guy had a gun and was trying to, like, was, like, waving it around. So when the cops found the guy, they shot him because they thought he had a gun. And he didn't have a gun. The guy just wanted his backpack back. But I'm like, what? So it's like that.
Was he killed?
Yeah.
Oh, he got his backpack.
He got his backpack back, but goddamn,
he's like, he must have ditched the gun.
So it was.
He's like, search the perimeter. He'll find a gun around here somewhere.
It's just such a wild story. Where like, I don't even know who to blame. Because I'm like, I get the guy wanting his backpack back, and I get like his thought process, because he's like, well, I know the cops won't come unless he has a gun. But now there's like this dead dude that just, I mean, he shouldn't have stolen a backpack, right, but right. I don't know.
One
that
less
means
backpack thief in the world.
I don't know if that means he gets to should be shot and killed.
I mean, not shot and killed, but maybe just shot.
Yeah, slow down a little. Yeah. Just like we catch him and then we give him one in the thigh, so he's a little slower.
Or kneecap him. Yeah,
just so like he can't run away. Shit.
Oh man, what if I? Yeah, I mean, that's like, you've heard the term swatting.
No.
So that's when you play video games online.
Yeah.
And then somebody beats you, and then you find out their IP address and where they live, and then you send a SWAT team to their house.
Jesus.
Because you put in a call that there's a hostage situation or some shit.
My God.
And then a guy got killed doing that. Like, he fucking swatted somebody's fucking house, and then. Whoever was playing a video game, their dad, like, got killed, shot and killed, answered the door. And it was just like, dude, you just got somebody killed over fucking Madden or Call of Duty.
Dude, what the fuck? I can't. Isn't there any, like, blowback? Or blowback for the people who, like, call in a false call? Isn't that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that guy got in serious trouble for calling in a fucking SWAT team. Like, they they tracked it down. But I mean, again, there's like, what are the laws on this, you know? And it's like,
right,
fucking, you know, this is a very modern day like issue. I think there was like, I think there's like a thing on Netflix about where just, they were talking about like all these different instances, and like one of the things, like, oh, swatting is a thing. I was like, I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that was the thing. Like, people would just fucking call SWAT team in your house. Yeah, and there's actually, like, if you go online and you look up SWAT, there's actually guys playing video games that are getting SWATed while they're streaming.
They're like, yeah, it's just getting tackled.
Yeah, and then a fucking SWAT guy fucking, you know,
jumps in.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, it comes in, you're like, oh, hey.
This game got real.
He's got fucking Cheeto dust on his face, you know, this is like getting fucking...
It's like a VR inception of fucking, you're like on Call of Duty and then Call of Duty in your house all of a sudden. Yeah, like, well, this has got really real. Yeah. The graphics on this game are insane.
Yeah, man. Fucking, yeah, it's bananas, dude. But yeah, here we are in Portland, where if you go get coffee, they have to buzz you in.
Yeah, we were.
They have to size you up through the window. They can't just let any riffraff off the street come in.
Yeah, they're probably like, he looks like just a drip coffee guy. Let him go. We want mochas and up only.
We
don't do just drip, you piece of shit.
Because you were just telling me too, because I didn't know about this, but you said a bunch of Starbucks up here were closing down because it was like not safe for the workers to come in.
Yeah, in Portland, in Seattle, and in
where
a couple
Starbucks
in Spokane
originated.
Yeah, yeah. They're just. I mean, I don't. Have you ever been to the original Starbucks in Seattle? So it's in. It's like by Pike
Place.
It's
got like water slides and shit.
No, it's it's just water slides. It's just a coffee colonic. It's by Pike's Place, and like there's it's that area is just trash now, and like one of the So there's another Starbucks around the corner that I think they closed, and like all this stuff that's downtown Seattle and Pike's Place. Like, are you familiar with Pike's Place Market? Uh-uh. So it's this big like open air mall market right on the water. Like they do, you know, like the fish tossing and all that shit, like buying fish, you know, and like it's crazy. And that whole area is just all homeless people now, and they've closed a bunch of like Starbucks and markets, and that it was like a big tourist area, but. You know, they were just doing smash and grabs, like gangs of 12 people smashing windows, buying all. And, you know, you got like, you know, you got people who are like, dude, I run a Hudson newspaper. What do you like? What do you, I can't fight. I'm not going to fight off 18 people high on PCP.
Okay, well, here's your Starbucks training. You have to learn how to make all these blended mochas, brews, lattes. Also, 6 months of Krav Maga training, disarm, CPR, you know, fucking in case somebody ODs in your bathroom. You
Right. We're going to give you Narcan and mace. Make sure you know which one is which when you use them. you got to, I suggest painting a red stripe on one.
Jesus Christ, man. What the fuck is happening up there?
Well, what we were, the first day we've been in Portland a couple of days. The first day we were, not even three blocks from our buddy Simon's apartment. And we were not even three blocks away when there's just a group of people like openly smoking foilies on the corner. I mean, it's not like nighttime.
We were walking by. It was like 2 p.m. You're like, there's Portland. Yeah. There's the Portland I know. I didn't see this episode of Portlandia.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is that part. It's fucking, it's wild. It's like any patch of land now is just open for, it used to be you'd see them, you know, under overpasses, you'd see them under bridges, you'd see them like in parks. But now they're just like literally on the middle of a sidewalk and there's a patch of grass like, oh, there they are. You're like, you're not, it's just anywhere. It's just in the open.
But as I say too, is it's like, yeah, how you like, you know, in the median, there would be like, you know, the street and then you have the little thing in the middle that would have like a tree there or something.
Right.
Now it's just a tent.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, this is a good place for my tent.
Yeah, I feel like any patch of grass, I feel if you go to like a golf, you know, like a golf range, probably like on the putting green, someone's just
It's like, oh, this flagpole would be good for one of my sides of my tent.
Yeah, this is a load-bearing wall now.
Load-bearing wall.
And that is the wild part. If you walk by some of these places, you'll see these people have, they have like something, if you were building that at your house, you'd have to get a permit. Like, that's how structurally sound some of these things they've put together are. I'm like, how much time? There, I walked by a guy yesterday. I was walking around. He had a dolly with a full-size queen mattress and box spring on it that he's walking down the street. And he was walking a long ways. Like, I saw him coming, like, because I was walking on the straightaway. He was 10 blocks away and just kept, he kept going past me. I'm like, this guy's just dollying this mattress he probably found in an alley to who knows where.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I mean, like, good for him. He scored a mattress, yeah, but, yeah. Like,
it was like, a lot of sexual assaults going to be happening on this baby.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be great. But also, if you can score a dolly, man, like, I don't know, man, start a moving bit company, like,
this
or something.
Size for sleeping, this size for raping.
You got to flip it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You're a sleeping gal. You're, you know, I'm going to give you you get to consent. Yeah, this other side's way messier. Yeah, I mean, it's, dude, the construction some of these guys have put together is like, oh my God, that's nicer than houses in Mexico. You're like, you know.
Right. Wait, also, you were saying, because you're moving to San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
but you've been living in Spokane, right?
Yeah.
And you, like, what did you say? You go, yeah, like, it used to be nice, affordable, and clean.
And safe.
You know, it's like you got to have at least one of those things.
Right.
It's like, well, it's affordable, not that safe, or it's dirty, but not that affordable, you know?
Yeah. I got to at least get one out of those, you know,
yeah.
Like safe, clean, and affordable. Like, it's got to at least one, if not two of those things, but now it's none.
None of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Expensive, dirty, and dangerous.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Fucking, you know, it's like if they were charging $1,500 a night for Airbnbs in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's, you're like, dead. It's dead. Dirty, expensive, and dangerous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's dead.
I live in a nice part of Spokane, or what was, I mean, still probably one of the nicer parts. I mean, it's, Spokane is not like Compton, but, you know, having grown up in South Central, trust me, it's a long haul away. But I live in one of the nicer neighborhoods in Spokane, but still, like, a block up from me on a main intersection, Alberta and Wellesley, which is like a main intersection in Spokane, in the middle of broad daylight, like noon on like a Wednesday, some girl was attacked and raped. Like, and I'm like, cool, this is in my, like, literally a block from my house in the nice part of town, broad daylight. It was like middle of the night. It wasn't in a seedy area. I'm like, this is fucking wild, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you got it, like, right before lunch.
Right, yeah, you got it.
You know.
That's the appetizer.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. Going on my lunch break. And then she gets yelled at for work. You'd be gone for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. No, it only took me 3 minutes.
Well, it's also like in D.C., our rookie running back just got shot twice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, welcome to D.C., buddy. You know, fucking, you know, serves you right for doing well during the preseason, looking like you're going to take the starter job.
Right. Maybe it was the starter.
Yeah, it was Antonio Gibson's friends.
He's like,
hey, this guy doesn't fumble like I do.
Yeah, I need someone who runs the 440 a little slower than I do.
Right.
Yeah, that it's fucking everywhere, man. It's so.
Yeah, I was just like, what is the draw to living in a big city right now? What's appealing about living in a one of these fucking cities?
It's like you go
Chicago, you know, same shit. You know, it's just like the crime. New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's like fucking $3,000 to live in a closet.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. What the fuck?
Well, you go to I was just in L.A. a while back, and like downtown L.A., which used to be super dicey, and it was actually like the Harbor District in L.A. was there were more homicides there than anywhere else in L.A. in that district. But they cleaned it up and made these nice condos, but there's still, so there's like $1 million condos, but then once you get to the ground floor and walk around, it's just fucking dregs of just homeless people everywhere. And I'm like, why would you pay millions of dollars to live in this condo and then you're afraid to go out of your apartment?
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, you gotta, I hope you can do DoorDash. Yeah. The guy's sewing up like fucking, your DoorDash guy looks like Judge Dredd.
Right.
You know, yeah, he's just fucking showing up with your fucking ham sandwich, you know?
It's
is that where like the Cecil Hotel is too? Is like downtown?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like the fucking,
right,
find
down
that
there.
Girl in a fucking water tank.
Yeah. It's right down there. So the that whole area around it, they've done a lot, but they've redone buildings. But yeah, there's still just homeless people everywhere.
Did you see that that documentary?
Yeah, dude, that was fucking crazy.
The people that I wanted to punch in the head the most were those were those Brits. The water was brown and it tasted funny.
Yeah.
The fuck you just say?
Yeah.
You say the water was brown and then it tasted funny. What'd you think brown water was going to taste like?
Right.
You stupid limey fuck.
Oh, that's what they brush their teeth with in Britain, probably, though. You've seen the fucking grill.
It was a bit gamey. The water was a bit gamey.
Yeah, it tasted a little,
it was a bit off-putting. The water say, oh, you mean the one with the dead body floating around in it? You fucking idiot.
Yeah, they're like, we heard the water in L.A. wasn't good, but man, this is really...
Yeah, this is... The reputation precedes itself of how bad the water is.
Yeah, you think if there was a dead Asian in the water, you think when you drink the water, you're just thirsty again in 30 minutes?
Dead Asian in the water.
The, sorry, Asian listeners. The
Yeah. Man, yeah, the that whole fucking documentary, it was just like, she just looked like she was on drugs.
Yeah.
The time to me, it was just like she's walking around, and then she was like depressed, like, oh, I'm sad, and this, and then there's just people offering drugs, like you could walk out that front door,
right?
And they're LSD, ketamine, fentanyl,
whatever
you want, ketamine or fentanyl laced ketamine,
right?
Whatever, you know, who the fuck knows?
Speedball that shit.
Yeah.
Well, that was the most annoying thing about that documentary is it started out with like intrigue of like murder at the Cecil Hotel, and then like the more you watch it, the longer you're
everybody's been murdered.
This girl,
like, which hotel, which room hasn't had a murder in it?
Right. Yeah. Like it's just when you have a crack den hotel, you know, here's the marker for a bad hotel. I've always said there's like these hotels that have like a hourly rate and a weekly rate. Like if you ask for just a night, they're like a whole night. Like you mean a week? No, I don't want to stay for a week. I want one night. Oh, you want an hour? No, not an hour. One night.
I want to take a shower. I want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like you're either doing an hourly where you're banging a hooker and getting out of there, or like you're homeless and you're staying for a week. You know, like there's no like I'm just passing through town and need a place to stay for a night.
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing. I was just like, and then when they talk about the homeless people. In L.A., they're like, well, you know, it's a lot of mental illness, and plus, you know, a lot of them are addicted to meth. Oh, good. So it's schizophrenia plus meth.
Right.
So all nine voices in my head are on meth.
They are super awake.
Yeah. That's got to be, it sounds like a fucking cafeteria going on in my head.
There was this article that came out, something like, I'm going to forget the exact numbers, but there was something, it was like hundreds of millions of dollars, like, that was being spent, that was like earmarked for the homeless problem in LA, that the like for the budget, right?
And they're like, let's get them to a different city.
Well, here's what they found out.
North Dakota.
Only 10% of that money was actually going to the homeless. Like most of it was going to payroll for the administrative people.
Bro.
So you're like millions of dollars that people are like, oh, great. We're spending millions. So something's got to be getting done, right?
Yeah.
When you break down the numbers, you're like, none of it's getting to the actual problem.
Dude. Okay. So... You watch Dateline at all ever?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
I've
so
seen, yeah.
Occasionally,
mostly just the catch a predator
occasionally,
ones.
Occasionally, oh, dude, classic. Dude. Occasionally they have like, I call them the Dateline doozy, where you're like, where you watch, you go, holy shit. Like there was this one where they did a whole thing. It's called this family, the Turpins.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the parents are psychopaths and they were chaining their children, 14 children, to the beds. They couldn't even go outside or anything. And it was just like, and they had another separate place that they like two houses almost where the older ones lived and they had to like take care of a little. And then it's like, and then they like, these kids weren't allowed to eat their parents' food. The parents mm-hmm. like, this is our food and this is that. And then the mom would buy toys that the kids weren't allowed to play with. It was insane. right? So then finally this one little girl escapes, and she's just like, she found a phone, and it was like, it was like, didn't have a payment plan or anything. So it was like, all I could do was call an emergency line.
Okay.
So she called 911, and she's like, hello? She's like fucking scared shitless. She's like,
yeah.
She's like, our parents are abusing us. She's like, we need help. She's like, what's your street sign? I don't.
What's that? Like, what is that? What the hell? Like, what are you talking
dude,
about?
Yeah. She goes. God, dude. It was like she didn't even know what certain words meant.
Yeah.
Like she was like, I don't know. And then she reads off numbers. She's like 54789. And then they're like, she's like, okay, you just gave me your zip code. And she's like, what's that?
Yeah.
What's that? She's like, I'm just reading off shit. So finally, like, they send a cop her way, and then she's like, this poor kid. Like she almost looks like. She almost looks like she's on drugs.
Yeah.
You know, because she's just so, like, fucking...
Yeah, she's a feral.
Yeah. So the cop comes up. He's like, okay. So she's like, my brothers and sisters are handcuffed to the bed and this and that. And then he's like, are you on any medication? And she goes, what's medications?
Yeah.
What's medication? She's like...
No clue.
Yeah. And then she's like, sometimes we take... Robitussin, like she didn't even know how to say Robitussin, you know. She's like, and then she goes, do you have any pictures of this? She goes, yes I do. And so he showed him like pictures, like she actually took pictures with the phone, and he was like,
wow.
Yeah, so the phone was able to take pictures. And then the cop was like, okay. And he like and then he's like, he does a little radio call in. So now it's like, dude, like we should watch this episode after we fucking, I'll find it and then I'll throw it on for you because it's so worth watching. And then the best is when the cops show up to the door and these fucking parents answer the door. The father alone, it's like, this father's haircut alone is probable cause. like this guy's head, right? And then they're like, oh, we had a call from a child that said they came from this. And then the mom's like, child from this house? And it's like, do you know the name of the child? And like, and her, she's like, because I'm going to beat her fucking ass.
Yeah.
Right? So then they finally rescue these kids from this. But now it's like they have to distribute them to like foster care and all this shit. And so the story gets out there. They raise over $500,000 for these kids. Kids don't get shit because it goes, it's the same thing with like, it's the whoever's in charge of deciding who gets. Yeah. Hey, what happened to that kid that was supposed to, this fucking thing's been eating cat food for the past, you know,
probably step up for
him. I've been giving him fancy feast. Yeah. He loves it, dude. Yeah. So it's like, they got no money.
Yeah,
dude, it's like, oh, you got rescued, but then it's that. And then one of the places they got sent to, like, it was a bad neighborhood. And like a couple of them have been assaulted.
Yeah.
Because like one of the detectives who's like, one of the detectives is like, who they interviewed is almost in tears because he's like, yeah, this is horrible. They shouldn't be treated like this. And whatever sense that a normal person has of like danger or anything, they don't have that.
Right.
They're just like, they just approach anybody like, oh, hi, my name's Sutton. And they're like getting punched in the face. And, you know, and it's just like, hi, my name's Jason Turpin, and then they're like just getting the shit kicked out of them.
They have no clue.
They have no clue. They have no fucking
life.
They have no social skills whatsoever. But I tell you what though, this, because the main interviews with this, the two older ones, is like this girl and this old and her sister, and then they're like, they took him to a park, and she was like, I mean, just like a little bird,
yeah,
that fell out and you want to like take care of them. Like they're so adorable and sweet. And she's like, I went to the park and the grass smelled so good. And she's like, this is life. She's like, you know, it's like, you will never, like, as miserable as they've been, but you will never be as happy as this fucking little girl that went to a park for the first time and like got to be free. Dude, it's like such a good story. But at the end, they're like, okay, now it's time for you to get fucked by the system.
Yeah.
After you like were raised by your shitbag parents your entire life, dude. It's horrible.
Jesus
but
Christ.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to, this is real life in America. You just getting now, like, this poor innocent girl, and they're like, yeah, she was free. She smelled the grass. She loved it. Tragically, 3 days later, she was gang raped and murdered.
She's still in Southern California, so, yeah. Dude, yeah, it's like in America.
Damn.
But yeah, dude, that was one of those Dateline doozies where you're like, God damn, Dateline. Like,
with shit like that, I oftentimes want to ask the neighbors and be like, what the fuck did you think was happening in that house?
Well, here's the thing, though. They moved around so much. And then whenever neighbors started getting suspicious or anything, they're like, oh, time to go.
Did they know? I'd be like, how do you move 14 kids without someone knowing that, like,
right,
you
right.
never see them
go? Dude, they look like Holocaust victims.
Yeah.
And they fucking, fly guy. And here's another thing. They were living in California, but they were like on the verge to moving to Oklahoma.
Okay.
Bad news. Bad on you, Oklahoma, where this family felt safe moving to you. Like, let's go to Oklahoma. We'll be good to like they feel safe there. Like, yeah, Oklahoma sounds like a good place
to
set up
to
camp.
Their own business.
This guy was an engineer too. Like, I wanted to know what his day to day life was like. Like, who his coworkers are talking with that fucking haircut too.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see this guy's haircut, bro? Like, you ever seen the movie Kingpin?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he looked like fucking Randy Quaid from Kingpin with the fucking that big yellow fucking Amish haircut.
Okay, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude, that's what his fucking head looked like.
So here's my biggest question with shit like that. I always wonder is like, do this wife, husband and wife, do they meet each other and like, how does that conversation
okay.
first come
so,
up?
So they met each other in high school. He was, I think he was like 17 and she was 14 or something.
Okay.
And like, I think they got married when she was like 15 or 16 even too. Like,
that's
like,
all right. Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. And then they were super religious and it was like, that's what the daughter was saying. She was like, oh, like they read the Bible and they think it's like their right to fucking treat their children how they want, like basically yeah. like slaves or whatever the fuck. So they're using the Bible as like,
I mean, that's you
got to respect
right.
your parents. That's one of the commandments. Respect your parents.
Or we chain you to a bed.
Yeah. Like, and it's best too when the cops start going in. Because they, like, when the parents answer the door, they're, like, out of breath. They're kind of, because they've been trying to, like, fucking hide. They try to, oh, shit. They're like
yeah.
who's at the door? And it took them a minute to come to the door. They're like, hello, police. And they're like, hey, how's it going? And they're, like, trying to fucking hide the chains. And then they couldn't, and then the fucking cop was like, what's in this door here? And he opened it up and he goes, oh, here we go. And it's like all these fucking chains. And then there was finally one that was still on the bed.
Oh,
and
Jesus
dude,
Christ,
I got to show you this, dude. It's like, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I really would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation when they find out they like talk about having kids. Like, you want to have kids? We should make a family. And then one, like, you know, the mom looks around and be like, yeah, we're going to treat them like shit, though, right? Oh, yeah, of course. No, we fuck those kids.
Yeah. It's going to be like, like a fucking,
okay,
like a fucking petting
page.
Zoo, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, we're on the same page. Like, how does that conversation
like the oldest one
approach?
We should beat like an unwanted goat. How about that? Like, just fucking smash it in the head.
It's like, oh, you're in my head. You are my soulmate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We're going to treat them like shit, though, right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I got little baby chains.
Right.
Yeah. I got the bassinet
early.
And I got little tiny chains to go around a baby's wrist.
Yeah, we get them going early.
Yeah.
People like that. I just never understand. I see that shit all the time. There was this. Did you see that documentary? My name is Steven. It's a wild documentary because like. It's like got like an M. Night Shyamalan twist in the middle.
This is a real story?
Yeah, real story. This kid, when he was like 7 years old, got
he's an airbender?
He was dead the whole time. He gets abducted, right? And it's in like a...
Oh, wait. I think I did see this. So he gets abducted and he like gets raised by this guy.
Yeah.
For forever. And then he finally gets back to his parents. But then he gets killed
in like a DUI. Yeah,
and then his sibling's a serial killer.
Yeah, that's the twist in the end where you're like, oh, this is over. This kid dies. You're like, wait, there's more.
His brother serially
Merlin raped like all these people in this.
Yeah, he killed like four people or something.
Yeah, so it's but that poor fucking kid who like and the guy lived like not that far from his actual family for a long time, and you're like, how. How does this guy, no neighbors ask questions about like, who is this? Like,
yeah, yeah. Hey, you didn't have a fucking 8-year-old yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so
that was the '70s. Times were weird. Yeah,
people knew how to mind their own business.
Well, do you do a joke like that too? You're like, yeah, there's whistling behind this kid. Well, oh, now he's been in my wee. I renamed him Tiger. You know, like dogs. You can name whatever you want. And
yeah, people just didn't ask questions, I guess. So I, dude, I don't know. It just shit like that is so mind-boggling to me. But it also makes me think about how, you know.
I did see that. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Dude, it's nuts.
Yeah. And those poor parents. Oh, your one kid died, and then the other one, oh, this one's a serial killer. And I think the serial killer one was, like, jealous of the one when he came back.
Yeah.
Where he was just like, oh, he's getting all this attention.
Right. Well, imagine.
Oh, look who got kidnapped and you got molested.
Yeah, you got raped for 5 years. Yeah. I can up that.
Yeah, look who has a magical butthole.
It's, I mean, God, what? In that poor kid, he came back and, like, what, 2 years after he was, like, back in normal life. Yeah, he was driving home. And
No. He was back for a while because he didn't get killed. He had kids.
He was in
his 20s, late 20s, I think, maybe early 30s when he got killed.
I think he was early 20s. It was, like, 20. But he.
Oh, no. I think because his kids didn't really know him that well. His kids were still, like, really young.
I think his wife was, like, 20, 21. He was, like, 23, 24. And he was driving home on a motorcycle and some drunk driver plowed into him. And, like, dude, I'm not much into, like, God or fate, but, like, at some point you got to believe, like, that kid was just meant to die. Like, he was meant to, like, not be with that family somehow.
I mean, at least he did, like, have a few years where he had a wife and a couple kids. There was, like, some peace and, like,
yeah, I get,
you know, like, fuck, dude. But, yeah, that's one of those ones where you're like, oh, and then try. Like, I was like, when. God, I think there was a story, like somebody was in a school, like a shooting, a mass shooting, survived it, and then was killed in another mass shooting, like fucking, like a few years later.
Yeah,
like that happened.
Yeah, it's like how snake bitten is your family? That like
bro,
you
could be in two of those fucking things, like you know, you're like okay.
Yeah, well, I guess you know. The longer you go to public school, odds are you're going to get more than.
Well, I mean, isn't even public school. Sometimes you're just at a grocery store, a Walmart, or a fucking, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah, man, the fucking chances of that shit happening. Anyways, man, let's wrap this up. Where can they find you on social media, all that good stuff?
Go to deececomedy.com or deece.comedy on Instagram. That's good enough. All the other shit's on there. You'll find it from there. So.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's been real fun touring with you, man. I felt like even last year, I was like, yeah, this dude's great. Fucking really hit it off, and like your hustle, bro, is like
we got shows,
like an American hustle, bro. Yeah, so. Yeah, and he's the one to help me. Now that you're like, man, this podcast sounds good now. It's because fucking Deece Casillas is like, all right, this is the shit you need, motherfucker.
Just
stop being,
get this audio,
stop screaming into your phone.
Yeah, you sound crisp now.
Yeah, sounds nice and professional. My podcast equipment is actually nicer than my car.
Same value.
Yeah, same value.
Same trade in value.
Absolutely. Well, anyways, man, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I will be in, I got Carson City coming up. We got Richland this Friday, Saturday. Tonight, we're in
Woodland, Washington. Antidote Brewing in Woodland, Washington.
Woodland, Washington. That's right. And then, so the Never Ending Tour continues. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road. Thanks, everybody.